More than 20% of people in faith communities are survivors of childhood sexual abuse. But sadly, churches are often the last place a victim of abuse can find help and healing. I'm Kelly Downing, and my dream is a church where survivors like me and so many others can feel safe, be heard, and find healing. Until that happens, this is Survivor Sanctuary, a podcast for survivors of sexual abuse who are navigating the road to healing and for anyone who wants to be a part of the major heart renovation the church needs so that our faith communities can truly become sanctuaries for survivors. Welcome to another episode of Survivor Sanctuary, episode 98 to be exact. We're almost to 100, gonna get there eventually. And I'm Kelly with you, and I'm glad that you're taking a little time out of your day to join me here on the podcast. Hope things are going great for you. And today's episode is all about playing the victim. What that means, what people think that it means, I think maybe a better way to put it, what it doesn't mean, and what it means for survivors of sexual abuse. I'm sure that if you've spent any time being alive, or especially if you've spent any time in the area of advocacy in sexual abuse, you've probably heard people talk about a victim mentality or people playing the victim. And I'm going to be honest and say that this is something that triggers me immediately when I hear someone say something or I read something someone has written about people playing the victim or a victim mentality. It triggers something in me, and it usually gets me fired up and gets me going. So I'm going to be honest about that straight up. This is a topic that tends to trigger me. And so I've looked at it to try and see, like, what is it about this that bothers me so much? And of course, there's that fear in the back of your head. Again, I'm going to be open and honest because why not? The fear in the back of your mind is, oh my goodness, if it triggers me when people talk about abuse victims, you know, playing the victim or survivors of sexual abuse, clinging to their victimhood. Like, if that bothers me so much, does that mean that that's what I'm doing? And I've had to look a lot into it and kind of search myself and just kind of see where I'm at. And I kind of find the place that I'm in a little bit of a tightrope to walk, because in tackling the subject of victimhood or playing the victim or clinging to a victim mentality, when you're tackling that topic, it seems like the schools of thought tend to be one extreme or the other, maybe. And actually, I would say the extremes tend to be more on the side of the people who accuse everyone of playing the victim. Tony Robbins comes to mind. I know a few years back, there was that conference he was doing, and this woman like called him out for the stuff he was saying about the Me Too movement, and basically saying that people love being victims and they're clinging to their victimhood. And I'm paraphrasing here. This is not exactly what Tony Robbins said. Tony Robbins, don't sue me, because I literally have no money and I can't help you in that department. But it got a lot of attention because this woman who was sitting in his conference was actually a survivor of abuse. I'm not sure what type of abuse, but she kind of pushed back, and good for her, in front of like thousands of people, she's pushing back against this guy who I think is pretty obnoxious. I know self-help gurus help people, and I know that their techniques and their way of being is going to feel different for certain types of people than it does for others. And I'm not like anti-self-help. I think that you can learn a lot, and people can grow, and they can become better humans, and they can reframe a lot of what's happened to them. And so I'm not here to like trash self-help gurus or motivational speakers. But I will say that sometimes when I listen to motivational speakers, it can kind of feel like nails on a chalkboard. And again, it's not that medium. It's not that profession that bothers me, because I've also learned quite a bit from some motivational speakers. It's like, wow, you know, that's a pretty cool thought process, or that's a pretty cool thing I can put into practice in my life. So I'm not trashing people who are motivational speakers, but I will say there tends to be like this almost extremism when it comes to dealing with the human mind and trying to reframe everything in your mind so that you can be this powerful, almighty person that has no problems or that can overcome anything. And again, like, that's great if you are like a down in the dumps person and you just need to be unstuck and you really respond well to somebody getting in your face and, you know, telling you how it is. Like, that's fine. again, it works for some people. But I think for some people, it can be really abrasive. And I think that brash in your face, like you are in complete control of the universe and everything that happens to you, you bring into your life and you can overcome it. Like basically, you're in charge of your own destiny, not poo-pooing that. But I think that it gets oversimplified and it gets also just like blown out of proportion in a sense. That sounds like an oxymoron, but I'll explain a little bit. Not here today to talk specifically about motivational speakers, but when I hear people talking about a victim mentality, there have been instances where people like motivational speakers, such as Tony Robbins, have called out people like in the Me Too movement, for instance, and basically accuse them of having a victim mentality and clinging to their victimhood. Well, I think that there's a big difference, first of all, in having a victim mentality and clinging to victimhood and advocating for the rights and the protection of people who have been sexually abused or who are at risk of being sexually abused. I think there's a difference between having a victim mentality and taking abusers to task and demanding that they be punished for the things that they've done that are wrong. You wouldn't say, oh, you're playing the victim if somebody breaks into your house and robs you for everything you've got, and then they go to court and you testify against them. Are you playing the victim? I mean, why not just let them go? Because obviously, if motivational speakers, if some motivational speakers are correct, the reason you got robbed is because you don't have the right mind frame and you somehow invited this into your life because you're not operating at a high enough frequency. That's my favorite. And if you were truly in your flow and vibing at the right frequency, like these things wouldn't be happening to you. So it's a whole lot of what boils down to what feels a lot like victim blaming. Clearly, I'm not a fan. And here's why I think that that's important when it comes to sexual abuse advocacy in the church or anywhere, you know, sexual abuse advocacy in the world at large or within the church, wherever you're doing it. I think it's really important to push back against the people who are calling survivors of sexual abuse who have something to say about it victims, or people who are playing the victim or walking around in some kind of victim mentality. It's not the truth. Being honest about what happened to you, and this is something I think is super important. Being honest about what happened to you is not playing the victim. It's not clinging to some victimhood. Talking out loud about the evil of sexual abuse, talking out loud about horrible effects of sexual abuse, that's not playing the victim. And I think it's something that's important to talk about. Unfortunately, when people don't know how to respond, and a lot of people are very ignorant about childhood sexual abuse in general, sexual assault, pretty much any kind of sexual abuse or assault, people are very ignorant in some cases about the reality. They're very ignorant about what happens once someone has been sexually abused or sexually assaulted. And to some people, it might seem like there's a super simple solution after you've been sexually abused. Like you can just snap out of it. You pick yourself up by your bootstraps. You soar like an eagle and you're not going to be anyone's victim because you just decide you're not going to be anyone's victim. Well, here's the problem I have with that. Well, I have a lot of problems with it, but one of the big problems I have with it is I think the idea that you decide whether or not you're going to be a victim. And I believe 1,000% you do not get to decide if you're going to be a victim. You don't. You know, if you get into that, you can blame anyone for anything. You know, you could say, well, you were 6 years old, yes, but had you just yelled when this man started, you know, making out with you, basically, then you would have been fine. You know, if you had just told a parent, if you just told him to stop, you know, everything would have been fine. Like, that's victim blaming. And the entire idea that you can choose whether or not you're going to be a victim is victim blaming. Because if you can choose, if it is up to you whether or not you're a victim, then you are choosing your victimhood. Therefore, you have chosen the abuse and you are responsible for what happened to you. And the majority of the people listening to this podcast know it is not that simple when it comes to sexual abuse. I did not decide as a six-year-old child that I wanted an adult man who I trusted and respected and loved to sexualize me. At 6 years old, I didn't know what sex was. I didn't know what sexuality was. I was an innocent, happy, just cheerful, gleeful kiddo who loved people. And I loved the attention I was showered with, and I loved playing and having fun, and all of those things were used by the person who abused me to abuse me. And so he took like the parts of me that made me a really special, happy, loving kid and used those things against me to trap me into sexual abuse. I did not choose to be a victim. I became a victim when an abuser victimized me. And so I think that turning it around in your mind is important also. That's a good way of reframing it, because a lot of times we feel like, you know, I did this, this happened to me because there was something wrong with me. We talked about this in a recent episode, you know, there must be some flaw within me that made me attractive to this person or made me an easy target. And those flaws are what caused my sexual abuse. Therefore, there's something wrong with me and that's why I was abused. See, that is a mindset that can get you into trouble. That is a mindset that can drag you down in so many areas of your life. It really can. And the reason I think it's important to talk about mindset is not because I want to be a motivational speaker and you know, yell at you that you are in control of every single thing and you don't have any effects of sexual abuse unless you want them and you're not a victim unless you decide to be one. Like, I'm not saying it for that reason. But it's really important, I think, for us to frame things properly in our mind, because what the abuse has done and what abusers have done to us is create that feeling of I'm somehow at fault. And let me tell you, this is not a conscious feeling that a question pops up into the air. Do you want this to be your fault or not? To check yes or no. It's very subconscious. That's how it happens in the deep recesses of your mind, especially when you're young, when you were abused, your brain's not completely formed yet. And so your brain is forming around these ideas and beliefs that are there simply because a disgusting person decided to abuse us. And is that your fault? No, it absolutely is not. So I do think it's important that we reframe certain thoughts that we have surrounding sexual abuse, because if we don't, I think that we can get in a trap where we blame ourselves or we feel like we have some sort of fatal flaw within us that caused us to be abused. And that's why I think it's so important to always remember, no, I didn't abuse myself. I did not cause myself to be abused. I was abused because a person wanted to abuse me and chose to abuse me. That's it. It's all on the other person completely and totally. So I like to keep that in the forefront of my mind. I didn't do it. I was a sweet little kid, just a happy-go-lucky child. I was abused not because I was some easy target. I was abused because the abuser decided he wanted to do something horrible to me for his own pleasure, and he went ahead and did it. Full stop. That's the reason it happened. And sometimes we want like some big answer. You know, we need some thunderbolt of lightning from the sky. This is why this happened to you. And we want to see the tapestry of our lives being weaved together like for some greater good or bigger plan. And I'm not saying that there can't be a greater good or a bigger plan. I'm just saying that we need to hold on to that idea that no, I was not abused because something is wrong with me. I was not abused because I chose to be a victim, Tony Robbins. I was abused because an abuser wanted to abuse me and decided to abuse me. Went ahead and did it. That's full stop why it happened. So I believe like 20,000% that we do not get to choose whether or not we are victimized. And let me explain this. If your house gets robbed, you are the victim of a robbery. If someone picks your pocket and steals your wallet, you are the victim of a robbery. If someone runs over you with their car and then drives away, you are the victim of a hit and run accident. Where I think we can get into some trouble as survivors of sexual abuse is when that event that happened to us or the victimization that happened to us stops being something that happened to us and becomes who we are or who we see ourselves as. So I think that we do need to be careful there. Because just like with those harmful thoughts and feelings that blame us for the sexual abuse, the idea that a sexually abused person is who you are can be a very, very damaging thought. So I do think that we need to be careful there just for our own sanity and for our own healing. You know, I think that it's important to hold yourself in the highest esteem possible, you know? Survivors of abuse typically need as much self-confidence and self-worth and self-love as possible, because a lot of times it can be an area where we're lacking. And again, I think it just goes back to the fact that those earliest memories that we have are of somebody taking advantage of us sexually in a way that doesn't make any sense to our young minds, and in a way that our minds are just going to classify, because as kids, we're not egotistical, we're egocentric though. You kind of feel like life is about you and because of you as a child, because you don't know any better. So when something like abuse happens to you, it's very easy for you to internalize that feeling of, I did something to cause this and I did something wrong. I spent my entire childhood terrified, having anxiety attacks every time I thought about the fact that I had been abused. And it wasn't because I was angry with my abuser or that I was necessarily afraid of being abused again. That wasn't it. Those feelings of anxiety were feelings of shame. And the shame came from the fact that it felt like the abuse was my fault. So it's really a deeply internalized way of thinking. And so when you've gone through abuse as a child and you're living out the effects of the sexual abuse that you endured and you're having these struggles, because people have struggles after sexual abuse, it's just, it's a reality. And, you know, self-help gurus would want you to believe, and motivational speakers would want you to believe, that you get to choose how you're affected by sexual abuse. And I'm here to tell you, no, you freaking don't. Because I promise you right now, if I got to choose the way that sexual abuse had affected me, I would have chosen way, way differently. If I were able to change it now and choose differently, I would be choosing differently now. And I will tell you right now, there are things that the sexual abuse did to me as a child that have followed me into adulthood that I have spent thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars trying to fix, and throwing self-help at it, and throwing therapists at it, and throwing life coaches at it. And I'm sure that somebody like Tony Robbins would probably be like, give me 5 minutes with you and I'll fix you. But the bottom line is, there are effects of sexual abuse. And trust me, this show would be a lot sexier. It would sell a lot more. It would get so many more downloads if I could be one of those people who was like, yes, I was sexually abused, but then I had this epiphany and I realized I'm nobody's victim. I can't be a victim unless I decide to be a victim. And I just decided I'm not going to be a victim. And suddenly all the chains were broken. I have no effects of sexual abuse in my life anymore. Everything is fine. I have no anxiety about anything. I don't have any mental health disorders. Life is grand. Like, listen, I could sell some serious books with a story like that. I could. And the truth is, that's what I was hoping for when I started on my healing journey. Like, oh my gosh, I'm going to heal. Everything's going to be great. And listen, miles and miles and miles of healing have taken place. Okay. I'm a totally different person now than I was when I was walking around thinking I was nobody's victim. And I, just as a little aside, I think that's important to interject here. My whole life, I denied that I had been sexually abused. I denied it. And yeah, I would think about it sometimes. And yeah, it would give me like this sick feeling. I never understood why it popped up in my head sometimes, but I wasn't angry with my abuser at all. If anything, I was like, let's never tell anybody about that because they would be so mad at him. So I definitely don't want that to happen. Like, that was my mentality. And I'm nobody's victim and I'm a strong person and I don't need anything or anyone. You know, I really honestly and truly was not playing any kind of a victim my whole life. I didn't think I was one. I didn't think that I had been victimized. And so that was not a part of my thought process. But let me tell you, when the healing started in my life and when the healing started in me emotionally and psychologically and spiritually and all of it, it started when I finally realized that I had been the victim of sexual abuse. That's when everything started to change. And it wasn't me saying, oh my goodness, yay, I finally have a new identity and that identity is victim. That's not how it went down. It was just an admission. This thing happened to me. It happened to me, and whether I wanted it to or not, it affected me. And because it affected me, I'm dealing with all this crap in my life that doesn't need to be here. So the idea that a person who's speaking out about sexual abuse or who's calling abusers to account or who's demanding justice for people who are victimized, you know, the idea that they're playing the victim, I think is a little bit ridiculous. I think it's a lot ridiculous. And I hate to hear it. And I think that that's why it triggers me, because the notion that you can decide whether or not you're going to be a victim is not true. It's not. I mean, I'm sure people can argue, and that's fine. But in my world, there is not a decision that you make with whether or not you're going to be a victim. Now, you do get to decide what you do with your healing. And I think that that's super empowering. Yes, someone sexually abused you. And I would say that there's not any way in the world that we can ever go back in time and change that. I mentioned this a few episodes ago about how some advocates that I had heard were trying so hard to get away from this victim mentality that they had come to the point where they were openly expressing that they had allowed the abuse to happen. And that is a way of blaming yourself. But it's necessary for a person who believes that you get to decide whether or not you're a victim. It's necessary to blame yourself. It's necessary to victim blame. There's nothing else to do. Like, oh, well, it happened to me. And because I'm the one who gets to decide whether or not I'm a victim, then obviously it was my fault. And so that was a choice I made. And I wasn't a victim. I just made a poor choice. And the universe had something to teach me. Yada, 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 yada. Blah, 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 blah. I don't like it because it's not true. You become a victim when you're victimized. That doesn't mean that's who you are. That just means that it happened to you. And that's the distinction that needs to be made. Sexual abuse is something that happened to you. It is not who you are. You were abused, but an abuse victim is not who you are. Think about yourself. And I think it's a good exercise even to write it down. When all you can think of is, oh, you know, my life has been riddled with abuse and I have so many struggles from the abuse and it's kind of just what's on your mind and you're stuck in like a negative mindset, I think it is important, again, because of the way that our brains have trained us to believe that there's a flaw within us that causes the abuse. It's important to push back on those thoughts and those deeply embedded neural pathways. It's important to push back with the truth about who you actually are. And who you are is not a sexually abused person. Like, I'm not going to look at you and be like, oh, Mary, if I had to describe you, I would say Mary is a sexual abuse victim. No, the people who know you and love you are people who are going to describe things about your personality that they love, things that are quirky and that make you you. A sexual abuse victim is not who you are. You just were at some point in your life victimized by sexual abuse. And there's nothing wrong with saying that out loud and acknowledging it. In fact, I think that it really is the first step for a lot of people to heal from sexual abuse, is acknowledging that the abuse took place in the first place. And it's hard. I can't tell you the people I've talked to who are like, well, I think it really was partially my fault, because, well, if you knew the whole story, you would agree. And trust me, I was 6 when I was abused and I still have those thoughts. I say that a lot in this podcast, but I think it's important to reiterate. There is something about abuse, especially when it happens at a young age, that embeds this idea of yourself as a flawed, unworthy person. And those seeds get planted in your mind, they take root and your brain grows around them. And then we do need therapy and self-help and motivational speaking, if you will, to kind of, you know, get out of the mindset that tells us that we're unworthy human beings. So I'm not saying that if you're struggling with believing that you're scum because you were sexually abused, that no one should ever encourage you to let go of those thoughts. You know, I'm not here to say that anyone who says something motivational to you is wrong. I don't believe that. I just believe that it is wrong to accuse people who have gone through the hell of sexual abuse and who are living out the after effects of sexual abuse. It's harmful to tell those people that they have a victim mentality, or that because they're talking about sexual abuse, they're somehow clinging to their victimhood. That is the part that's detrimental to people. And that is the part that bothers me so much. And I think another thing that can make it really harmful, you look at like keyboard warriors and people that just have no empathy or compassion for humanity. And there are a lot of those people online. Like, you run into them a lot. But people like this take words from people like Tony Robbins or other people who have said publicly and openly that, oh, people love a victim mentality. Everybody loves to play a victim. No, just because people are more secure in speaking out about abuse that they've experienced or speaking out about some kind of injustice they've experienced, that does not mean that they're playing the victim. That does not mean that they want to be known as victims. It just means you've found your voice and you're willing to speak out about it. So, like I mentioned earlier, I think it's a little bit of a tightrope we're walking because on the one hand, I think it sucks when people are accused of playing the victim because they're open and honest about their struggles after sexual abuse. At the same time, however, I know that as sexual abuse survivors, these negative thoughts can be so deeply embedded in our brains that, yeah, sometimes we do need to be reminded that, hey, you are not the abuse that you suffered. And you didn't suffer that abuse because you wanted it or you invited it into your life or there was some flaw in you. The abuse is always about the person who abused you. They did it because they were a scummy person and they didn't care about anybody but themselves. And it had nothing to do with you. And it's hard because it happened to us, but really didn't have a whole lot to do with us. I would venture to say very little, if any, to do with us. It just didn't. We happened to be there. We happened to be available. And for whatever reason, our abuser was like, hey, I like little blonde girls. I mean, honestly, like, that's really what it boils down to. That's probably why I was the target of the person that I was a target of. I was a pretty little blonde-haired, green-eyed, very cute child. And for whatever reason, my abuser liked that. He's like, hey, think I'll abuse her today. I mean, really, like, that's what it came to. Not to be flippant about it. It sucks that people use us and abuse us. It sucks. And I don't want to make light of it. But at the same time, I don't want to make it about us. It's not about us. You were abused because your abuser sucks. And he or she really wanted to abuse someone and they did it. Just something important to keep in mind when you're thinking of abuse and how you're framing it in your mind, it's important to not set it on your shoulders. And so remembering abusers are the reason abuse happens, full stop, is an important way of doing that. And it's also important for you to keep in mind not to be shamed, because I don't believe that people who are suffering from the effects of sexual abuse are playing the victim. But I do think that it is helpful for us emotionally and psychologically, mentally, whatever you want to call it, it is very helpful for us to keep in mind that sexual abuse happened to us. It's a thing that happened to us, but it's not who we are. At your core, you're not an abused person. You're also not an incomplete person. You are a whole human being. Yes, you might have scars, you might have bruises, you might have some wounds, and those have to be dealt with. But you are a whole person. You're complete whether you were abused or not. And it's not who you are. It doesn't define the rest of your existence. I can get on board with those thoughts all day long because I think that they are healthy and helpful thoughts and helpful ways of reframing abuse in our minds, ways that help us to heal. And so that's good. I'm all about, you know, positive thinking when it helps us. What I'm not about is this fairy tale thinking that, you know, you are in charge of every single thing that happens to you. Because honestly, you're not. You know, I watch the ID channel all the time. I feel like I've mentioned this in the last couple episodes, but I watch Investigation Discovery, those murder mystery shows. Like, they get me every time. It's like people are just walking, minding their own business, and somebody decides to murder them. Like, they did not decide to be a victim. They just were victimized. So yes, you were victimized, but a victim is not who you are. You survived sexual abuse. You're growing and you're healing, and there's so much healing to be had. And yeah, you might struggle in some areas. Also, something that bothers me about the motivational speakers. It's as though, like, you just pretend your struggles don't even exist and then voila, they disappear. Not necessarily true. There are things that I struggle with as a result of sexual abuse, and I have no idea how it happened in my body and in my mind. I mean, I guess technically I can explain it like, okay, the neural pathways in my brain were disrupted and this happened, you know, but it's all kind of like not really getting exactly what caused what in my brain. All I know is that there are things that I struggle with, and there are things that so many people struggle with as a result of sexual abuse. And so I think the reason it triggers me when people call abuse survivors playing the victim or say they have a victim mentality, it triggers me because there's no compassion and there's no empathy in that statement. There's nothing in that statement that says, hey, you've had something happen to you that has affected you. It's not fair. And there are things you have to deal with that suck. Like, is it wrong to just acknowledge that that's the truth? Like, the anxiety that I have and the different issues that I have with anxiety surrounding abuse, if I could change anything in my life, that's what I would change. So when people say obnoxious things like, you're not a victim unless you choose to be a victim, it's just another way of shaming people like me and like many of you who struggle in the aftermath of sexual abuse. And I don't like that. You know, I think that there needs to be compassion for people. We need to be able to listen to people and say, hey, like, I get it. Like, I get that, you know, you were abused and now you struggle with X, Y, or Z. And I get that you've spent thousands and thousands of dollars on therapy and it hasn't gotten any better. I get that you wish so much you could change this, and no matter what kind of therapy or how much money you throw at it, it doesn't change. Like, where is the compassion? I just think it's too easy for people to take these little sound bites or talking points and just like spew them everywhere. Victim mentality, playing the victim. How about take like 5 or 10 minutes to try and understand what people who are sexually abused go through? And if you look at something like the ACEs study, the Adverse Childhood Experiences study that found, like, my goodness, the correlation between different sicknesses and diseases and struggles with mental health disorders and so many different kinds of things, the correlation between those adverse childhood experiences, including sexual abuse, and these negative things that happen in people's life. You can't ignore that. And most kids, abuse happens to them and they bury it. Like, that's typically what we do for a long time, right? We don't want to get in trouble. We don't want anybody to know. We hide it and try not to talk about it and try not to think about it. And none of that leads anywhere healthy. Like, what we end up with when we deny the fact that we are victimized is a lot of problems that are just constantly with us, bubbling beneath the surface, and they're going to come up at some point, and it's not going to be good. You know, if you don't unpack that big bag full of whatever's happened to you as a kiddo, you're just carrying it around with you. And so I just want to encourage you, like, don't let anybody tell you you're playing the victim. I mean, if you walk around saying, I am a victim, therefore I'm mean to everyone and I abuse my partner and my kids and, you know, I rob banks now and it's all because I was abused. Okay, that might be playing the victim. But saying, hey, you know, I have an anxiety disorder as a result of what happened to me as a kid. And unfortunately, like, medicine doesn't really help. Therapy hasn't really helped much. I've done as much as I can. I'm still hopeful. I still try new things. I keep trucking, but it's still there. And it's something that's really hard to deal with. And, you know, some days you may feel fine and you may not feel like you're struggling with any huge thing that's like a big problem. You feel like a happy, functional person. And then other times it can hit you out of nowhere and you're struggling again and you don't want to be. And that's the point. People that have experienced sexual abuse wish that they hadn't. Life would be a lot easier if we hadn't, you know? So we're not walking around playing the victim. If you hear somebody saying that, like, my instinct is to get angry. I get angry really fast. And then usually nothing constructive happens when I just get mad. But, you know, taking a little time to maybe educate some people and let them know, yeah, I'm not playing a victim because I just openly acknowledge that sexual abuse leaves scars on people. I'm not playing the victim because I openly acknowledge, yes, this thing was done to me as a child. It's not who I am. I'm much more than an abused person. That's not my identity, but it did happen to me. And no matter how much we want to heal, and no matter how much we want to be triumphant and be able to write books like Tony Robbins and tell everyone that we overcame every bad thing that ever happened to us and be bazillionaires, like as much as we want that, we still can't ever make the fact that we were abused go away. It's never going to be something that did not happen to us, because that's not how life works. Once somebody has been victimized, unfortunately, that experience is a part of their life. Is it your complete and total identity? And do you walk around in the identity of abused person? No, I hope not. But no matter how upbeat and positive you want to be, and I do hope you want to be upbeat and positive because it makes life a lot happier. But no matter how much you want to be, you still cannot change the fact that at one point in your life, or maybe several points in your life, you were the victim of sexual abuse. And that's what I have for you today on the 98th episode of Survivor Sanctuary. I hope you'll join me on the Facebook group. It is Survivor Sanctuary Podcast. If you do a search, you can answer the multiple choice question. I'll let you into the group and you can post there. Would love to hear your thoughts on playing the victim mentality, or other fun and happy things you've heard from people who like to judge something they know very little about. I'll catch you back here on the next episode of Survivor Sanctuary. See you then. Thanks for listening to Survivor Sanctuary with me, Kelly Downing. If you found value in today's podcast, please leave us a review on iTunes. Not only will it put a big smile on my face, more importantly, your reviews will help make it easier for other survivors and survivor advocates to find this podcast. Also, make sure you subscribe to Survivor Sanctuary wherever you listen to podcasts so you never miss an episode. You can also join the conversation in our Survivor Sanctuary Facebook group. And for exclusive content, be sure to visit survivorsanctuary.com. Join me next time for another episode of Survivor Sanctuary. See you then.